Hey everyone, I'm Matt.
And I'm Steven.
And you're listening to
Code Talk with Matt and Steven,
where we sit around chatting about code and stuff. Alright, this is Code Talk with Matt and Steven, episode number 4. This is our first ever Upstate PHP Roundtable discussion. And we are here, we're going to talk about, at least the goal is to talk about unit testing. We'll see if we get sidetracked. But who's present? Steven.
Matt.
Jacob.
Andrew.
Amy.
Alright, cool, we're all here. So let's get started. I hate unit testing. I suck at it. Unit testing, right? You're supposed to start off, and you're supposed to test like small chunks of code, right? Like very small units of code, right? It's not like a full-on functional or a full-on like integration testing where you're testing end-to-end everything. What I hate most about the test is I end up writing or spending most of my time writing mocks. You know, I don't know if anybody ever experiences that, but like most of the time is making mock objects or mock data, mock this and that, just so the one little bit of code that I'm testing that may call another class or do something, you know, that way it doesn't worry about that other class causing the failure, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a better way to do that. I mean, I have some shortcuts, I have some test traits, you know, like that help, you know, be able to mock the objects a little quicker, but still, like, I have like a 20 line unit test method, and, you know, like, I don't know, 15 of the lines are mocks.
Well, I have a question for you, because I haven't had to mock anything yet. I'm just getting started with unit testing, but I've written somewhere about 250 tests, and I haven't had to mock anything yet.
Why?
I don't know when I'm supposed to mock things.
So you're using real data, then?
Like from the database, or what are you doing?
I am doing some database testing, but it depends on what it is. It's very minimal database testing. So I'm writing a package for the JSON API spec. So just to make basically microservices very quickly. And so just throughout and building all that, I mean, most of it, it's, you know, their models and their traits and things like that. But I, you know, the way I got around traits and stuff, instead of mocking it, I just did an anonymous class and used the trait in there, and I was able to test everything in the trait, and then with middleware and stuff, I mean, I'm using Laravel, so you can really just create a request, you know, insert that one piece of middleware and actually just test the actual class itself, just send it the information that it needs, and just kind of fake it that way. So I guess in a way I am mocking the request, but I'm not like going and like, hey, mock this and, you know, assert that it returns that. And,
you talked about using anonymous classes. Are those like dependencies for what you're testing? Like does the class you test have dependencies?
Like, if I want to test a trait instead of, I don't know. I mean, all I did was use an anonymous class. And I did a use statement in the class, and that's all that's in there. And so I was able to just test all the functions of that trait without having to mock anything or create a class that I, you know, that implements that trait or anything like that. It was just, but it could be wrong. I could be doing it totally wrong.
I could be doing it wrong. I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
Well, I know I am doing things wrong, but at least things are getting tested. I think that's...
Well, I mean, okay, so I've got, like, all my classes, I mean, everything in our system, right? Like, they have multi-dependencies of, you know, the classes. And it's nice because we use a container, and so we can, you know, then just switch things out in the container. So our mocks can just, you know, mock that one class. We can throw that into the container. So when it, you know, when I pull that item from the container, it'll be my mock instance, which is nice. But then I still have to set that up. And so, like, I've got, like one class method that needs to, for instance, like, my latest one, send data, like, create a task in Salesforce or whatever, right, through the API. But, like, that needs to get, it needs to call this other dependency to get some data back, you know, format this, you know, pass a conversation from Help Scout into another dependency that get tags or something from it or whatever. So I'm still calling other services and other dependencies. And so I'm like, when I want to test just did this thing take this data and send it to, you know, Salesforce, pretend or whatever, I'm like, I've got to mock all those damn dependencies. And then I have to put them on that class that I'm testing, the mocks, instead of the real classes.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, my test ended up huge. And that's why I hate it. So much of my time is spent mocking. I like tests, actually. The tests themselves. Like, when you're testing them, when you're writing a package and you write, like, in a test, right, your packages are always, like, pretty small. And it's always, like, fresh code, generally, right? And your stuff just does one little thing. So you don't have a lot of dependencies. Or if you do, there are other packages, and they're tested. So all you need to do is just test what your thing does, like turn a string into an array or, you know, split the characters into an array or whatever. Like, that's simple. That's small unit testing. But I don't know. Maybe what I'm doing is different, wrong. But
well, no, I can see what you're doing. You're testing against somebody else's API and making sure that I can see you have to mock all their API responses to make sure that when it comes back, it does everything it's supposed to do. And
right.
Or yeah, at least, like, when I'm writing, it's all internal. Like, I'm not really using anybody else's API. It's just kind of me working. So, and I am using the database to mock beta and to test responses and things like that, just because, you know, with Laravel is so easy to write those factory methods, but I needed to test things like includes and all that kind of stuff, which is all dependent on the model, and then test that those models actually do what they're supposed to do and the response actually comes back correctly. It was just way easier with the database than it was. God, I couldn't imagine trying to figure out how to mock, yeah, 100 user models and their like relationships. You know what I mean?
So,
yeah.
What do you what is there, anybody else have any input? What do you guys think? Do you write unit tests? Nope. I'm seeing a lot of head shaking. There is one interesting side note coming in here. You don't write tests, Amy. You're right. You test on production. Was that a joke, or do you actually test on production?
No, that was a joke.
Oh, okay. Because I do remember days of where, like, that's what you did before PHP Unit was really big. Especially, worked at a company, I won't name them, but you guys are familiar with them, that we all shared a past at. And, like, their environment didn't have a local environment. And so it was, you did it, you know, you saved it via FTP and it went up, and then you went and they had a staging server, but it was still, you edited files via FTP and.
I miss those days. I remember there was a firebug for PHP, and I can't remember what it was called, but I loved it because then it would spit out all your debug code into the console, so your clients would even know what you're doing in there. God, that was I forgot what it was called, though.
I don't remember.
I bet it's still around.
For those of you just joining us, we've got some discussion time going on here. We've got some time before the main presentation starts. So Matt and I have a podcast, Code Talk, and we're discussing, we're doing a nice little live roundtable discussion on unit testing. So if anybody wants to come over and join us, feel free to chime in. To bring you up to speed, I hate them and I suck at them, but I'm trying. Now, what about naming your test methods?
I'm terrible at that, and I realized that from the very beginning that I don't know what I'm doing, and I think I'm kind of lazy when I'm doing tests because I'm like, I don't want to write a bunch of test functions. I'm just going to put a bunch of assertions in the same thing. So I'm like, test blah method, you know what I mean? And like, and then I'm just going to put all the assertions to make sure it does everything it's supposed to do. And I know I'm doing it wrong, but it's getting tested, and you know what? I think I'm ahead of the game, so.
You're better than a lot of us.
Do you do camel case or do you do snake case?
I know snake case is the preferred method. I do camel.
Is it? I don't know.
I was reading somewhere where you're supposed to do snake case.
Yeah, that's what I prefer, but we don't do that because I think because the rest of the app is PSR2 that prefers every method be camel case. Although with tests, I'm like, when you get a failure, you know, output in the console, I'm like, I can't read that. Like, snake case is so much easier. But then if you have, like, some linting rules or whatever, it bitches about 80-line characters, you know.
I think I'm going to eventually have to rewrite all my tests at some point. And so I'm planning on doing that probably sometime when it gets cold. Yeah. And it gets dark early, I get bored, and it's a perfect test writing time.
So. Do you
Oh, do you use data providers with PHP Unit?
Data providers.
Apparently, no. Does anybody know about the, does anybody use data providers in the unit testing? You guys don't unit test?
Data testing, does that count?
So you can have a test method that, like a method that will, like, you know, run and do, you know, do its unit test. But then you can, like, with PHP and using a certain annotation, doc block annotation, you can use, it's called data provider, and then you can give it the name of a method. And that method will return array, like an array of parameters or whatever, right? That's that. So when PHP Unit will call your test, it'll look for that data provider, and then it'll call that data provider and run it however many items you return, and it'll take those items and stick it into the parameters of that test method. So you can test, one test can do like multiple instances. So you're like, okay, I want to test that I want to test that a person was created and they have to have a first and last name, you know, and so then you see that the first and last name, right? And then you're like, okay, but if they don't have a last name, I'm just going to insert their email address as their last name or whatever, right? And so you can test, then you can have another return item from the data provider that says, like, first name and then the email address instead or whatever, right? And then you can just use, that way you're reusing the same method instead of writing multiple. It's just nice, a little way to, like, PHP, you know, like, loops through it. I'm explaining it horribly. And if anybody actually listens to this show and episode, feel free to comment. Don't ping me on Twitter because I'll just get pissed off. But comment, because we have discussed enabled.
I'll ping you on Twitter.
Man, you don't do Twitter. But yeah, let us know what we're doing wrong, or if I explained it improperly. Maybe just point me to a Stack Overflow.
Dependency injection?
It's kind of like that. So, okay. Like, say your test method, or anything, right? So your test itself, that method, will take parameters that you can switch out, and you want to test different bits of data on it, right? You're like, I want to say, you know, yeah, I want to say that it capitalizes, you know, lowercase strings, or it does this and that. Your method, the thing that you're testing, it will actually do multiple different things, and so you have different test cases for it. Well, you can have one class or one method that provides those different cases to one test method. That way, you don't have like 10 tests for each one of those scenarios. So that's nice.
So let me ask you a question. So for every class, test class you have, you know, it will recreate all of your, like, it just kind of clears it and recreates the setup every time, right? That's how it works, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't know exactly how it works, but I don't know. I don't feel confident in yes or no either way, because I feel like I've run into bugs where I thought it would clear it out on the next run, but then something persisted between runs.
I've had that too. Yeah. So usually, if I get an exception or something, it'll do that on occasion. Or I need to figure out why it's not using the test database sometimes. So if I have another base database, like, because sometimes I'll actually test on my app. So in this case, I have I'm using a Docker container for this, so I'll just take the actual working code for my package and put it in there, so I can actually kind of tweak, you know, the package while I'm actually writing some real code. So then I'll have a test database, and I'll have the actual database that I'm working on, and it will actually use the main database if it's there, even though I've set it up to use the test database. So I don't know. It's some weird stuff, but. It's just me not knowing what I'm doing, actually.
Do you guys do any other type of testing, not unit testing? Do you do, like, integration, functional, stuff like that? Like, do you do, like, JavaScript tests? Or is it all just throw that shit in the browser and hit refresh?
Currently, that's
because that's
the
how
situation.
Yes.
We're looking at beginning to integrate behavioral testing. But, yes, it's still something that we haven't started yet.
Okay.
Our code base is kind of like in a flux between legacy and kind of modern OO, so it kind of makes things tricky for unit testing on the back end. But
I struggle to actually understand the difference between, like,
integration, functional, behavioral testing. Does anybody know anything about that that you can explain that?
I'm sure Google, I can Google it real quick.
Why don't you Google it, Matt? Tell us what's
up. Behavioral.
I used to know that.
Tests are, if I'm not mistaken, are basically it's an automated test that just integrates into the site via the front end. Or an e-commerce store, so it just throws things into checkout, make sure that they all go through correctly, and just hits all these different routes on the site, and make sure everything's.
So it's actually like running a browser or something.
It's all basically running on the front end, essentially. So.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna add. I mean, there's endless browsers. I'm installing one now. We have 71 megabyte file is downloading. It's at 13% after a minute, and that's another option. I'm not a PHP programmer, so I can't speak to PHP unit tests. But headless browser is another option. They actually do UI testing.
Okay.
Does this button click? No. Okay, that test fails.
That seems easier to me.
Yeah,
that makes
it's
more
a lot
sense.
Easier to wrap your head around. The code test for sure.
Do you write any kind of unit tests in any other language?
I've written JavaScript unit tests.
Feel free to join us. Just chime in.
I am by no means an expert on unit tests.
Well,
and
you've written more JavaScript
expert,
unit tests than I have.
I mean, I know very little about the topic.
What do you use for the unit tests in JavaScript?
I'd have to look at what I used last. It's whatever came with. It was actually the Vue package. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
It was Karma. Mocha?
Okay. I don't remember what we use at work. Because I've never written one. I don't write a lot of JavaScript.
I never really sat down and learned unit testing. Which is probably bad. I should probably sit down and do that.
Maybe we should have a presentation on unit testing one night.
In college, wrote it for assignments.
General
Python.
That came with that.
That's about my extent of experience with it.
I like, do you guys ever run like the code coverage reports to see what the percentage of your code is covered by tests?
I want to, but I'm scared.
When I write, it's funny, I'm very proud when I write a package because I'm like, I want 100% coverage, I get the little badge, I write a test for everything.
How do you know that it's 100% though?
It generates a report or whatever, right? And then based on that, I don't know, some service.
So make sure that you've called every function in...
It does, yeah. So it uses, at least one of them uses, PHP code sniffer, I think, at least for the PHP test, and it will, I don't know how it works, it's beyond me, but it will, analyze the code, and then I don't know if it listens or analyzes your tests or whatever, but it does see, so you can actually see a line-by-line, breakdown of, here's your test method, and you test it, if you return early, if something's false, whatever, you test this, which has but you did not test that return early, or, something. So it'll tell you, this method is 80% covered.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and in fact, there's actually a way to integrate PHP Unit and the code coverage into PHP Storm, which I followed the directions. I did it accidentally once, but I haven't been able to do it for another test class. But it will actually, in PHP Storm, if you have Git and all of the version control, you'll see the color changes in the sidebar.
Never done it.
You use PHP Storm, right?
I do. I use.
Do you use version control?
I use version control.
Do you see little green elements in the sidebar that'll show you this is a new chunk, that's not been committed.
Well, yeah, green and red,
That. Okay. So they'll do that. Yeah. It'll actually do that and highlight your lines in the file for you, within PHP Storm.
Oh, nice.
So the IDE will show you instead of having to look at a XML report or HTML report.
I have not integrated any kind of unit testing in PHP Storm. The only thing I use PHP Storm for is Xdebug, which I love with unit testing, actually, because then you can step through all of your tests and kind of fix them as you go along.
That is nice.
Which is great. But that's it. That's really it. That's all I use it for. Sometimes I use the database feature just to see stuff. But I actually started testing Docker containers. So there's this. That's where really where we got started. And I wish unit testing was more like that, because it's called DGOS, and like all you do is say, it's just a YAML file where you tell it all these things it's supposed to have. You know, hey, these services need to be, you know, should be running or not running, and this file should exist and that file should not exist or whatever. And that's fantastic, because it takes me like 5 minutes to test the Docker container, you know, versus like...
You can test like everything. It's all about testing now.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But it sucks because I suck at it. So then it makes me feel bad.
How long have you been in unit testing now?
For years. But I bitched about it for years. And then I got called out on it at work because I didn't. I waited. The way I would do it, because I hate testing, and typically if you hate something, but you have to do it, you kind of put it off, right? So I hate writing tests. And so I'll, like, write the code, I'll make sure it works, and then I'll go write the test, right? Which is not TDD. It's, like, the exact opposite. It's make the shit work, and then write the test for it. So it's shit works
development-driven. Yeah, I'm TDD thing. Because it's hard. Yeah. It's hard for me, because most of the time, my work just kind of... Like, I work through it through methods, so I'll write a class. I may not implement it all, but I kind of write everything, and it just kind of makes sense, and I'll get rid of methods and add them, and then I'll implement it and test it. And then,
like, the idea of writing the test first, I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to do something or, like, what is going to happen, you know, until you start getting in there and writing the code. And I use, like, Scratch files all the time if I'm writing something new, and I'll just play around with it. I'm like, okay, let me play with how I want to use the class, and then maybe this class looks like this. And then I'll actually go implement it, and then I'll write the test to verify what I thought, you know, to verify my hypothesis if I'm not going to write the test first.
And every, like, example of a TDD I've ever seen, it's, like, really stupid, simple stuff. And you're like, well, of course, you know, that makes sense. But when when you're writing something extremely complicated, you're like, where do I start? So,
all right. Well, it sounds like we should maybe have a presentation on some unit testing. Would anybody be interested in that?
Sure.
Yeah?
So you're going to talk?
No, I think we're going to throw up the Trask symbol, and we're going to try to get Matt Trask on Skype or something to maybe remote present to us, because I think he's spoken in a couple of conferences now. Since he came down last year, he's done some like conference talks on unit testing and stuff, so he said he'd be willing to do that, and it sounds like we could all benefit from that. So
yes.
maybe October, November, we can see if he's willing to remote in. But cool, this was our first shorter episode and our first roundtable live at Upstate PHP, so thanks everybody for participating, and we'll see you next month for who knows what. Thanks.